This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And you're listening to Ecotopia. Tonight we'll be talking with Bill Shireman. He's one of the keynote speakers at This Way to Sustainability, the conference taking place later this month at Chico State. And then we'll interview four fourth-grade students from Parkview Elementary School about their efforts to conserve water by reducing lawns.
KZFR is in the middle of its spring pledge drive, and we hope you will show your support for the station and for Ecotopia by making a pledge. We're fundraising for a new generator to supply backup power for the station during our increasingly common power blackouts. Steve and I love being on KZFR, and we love the kind of independent programming the station brings to the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond, and we're pretty sure that you do too. That's why you're listening to Ecotopia right now and why you listen to Jim. You can contribute online at kzfr.org.
And if you can't get online, you can give us a phone call, and Susan will read that phone number for you at the bottom of the page to your left.
At the bottom of the page to my left. I see it. You can call 601-340-KZFR. That's 601-340-5937. So either call or go online. It's super easy either way, and pledge your support to the station. And we really, really appreciate it. And we really appreciate you.
And at the online site, you can also see a nice array of thank you gifts that we have available for you. Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR listeners and by the Chico Certified Farmers Markets, with year-round markets Wednesdays at the North Valley Plaza, Saturdays in downtown Chico, plus summer markets in Paradise. Chico Certified Farmers Markets, bringing food lovers and farmers together since 1980.
The opinions voiced on Ecotopia do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
We'll take a short break. Be back to talk with Bill Shireman, founder, president, and CEO of Future 500, a consultancy that brings people together to catalyze businesses as a force for good. This is Ecotopia on KZFR.
Okay, we're going to make a call to Bill Shireman in just a minute. But in the meantime, we're going to play a little bit of music. And during the music, that's a good time for you to go online and go to Ecotopia. I mean, not to Ecotopia. Go to KZFR.org, and you can make a pledge online. Or you can also call 601-340-KZFR, and that's 601-340-5937.
And now we have some music for you.
Stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
And I say, most people think a great Lord will come from the sky.
Satan, tired of your bullshit game. To die and go to heaven in Jesus' name. We know and we understand. The mighty God is a living man. You fool some people sometimes, yeah. But you can't fool all the people all the time. Cause now we've seen the light. We gonna stand up for a right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR. We're having a little trouble reaching our guest, Bill Sharman. So we want to remind you in the meantime, this is the age of streaming music on-demand content. KZFR gives you an easy way to connect with local music, local arts, and local issues. This is especially important now when so many of us feel socially isolated while we socially distance. But we can't do it without you. We hope you'll take this opportunity. You can go to kzfr.org today and pledge. Or you can give us a call at 601-340-5937. And while we attempt to reach our speaker again, we're going to play our theme song, which you never get to hear the all the way through. This is Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Weave, weave, weave me the sunshine out of the falling rain. Weave me the hope of a new tomorrow and fill my cup again. Sing it with me. Concrete crumble, shine on me again. The proud and the mighty all have stumbled, shine on me again now. Weave me the sunshine out of the fall, out of the falling. Weave me the hope of a new tomorrow and fill my cup again, fill it again now. Bank of the river of suffering shine.
is Ecotopia on KZFR, and we're still having trouble reaching our guest speaker tonight, so we're going to tell you a little bit about some of the outstanding speakers who will be participating in the 2021 This Way to Sustainability Conference at Chico State on Friday, March 26th from 1 to 2 o'clock. And we do hope to have some of these folks on, if not tonight, but in coming weeks. Leah Penniman, she's a farmer, activist, author, teacher, author of a book, Farming While Black. She was raised in Massachusetts, began farming as a teenager with the Food Project in Boston. She holds an MA in science education and a BA in environmental science and international development from Clark University. She's been farming since 1996. She doesn't look old enough to have been farming that long, teaching since 2002. She has worked at the Food Project Farm School, Many Hands Organic Farm, Youth Grow, and with farmers internationally in Ghana, Haiti, and Mexico. She co-founded Soul Fire Farm in 2011 with the mission of ending racism and injustice in the food system and reclaiming the inherent right to belong to the earth and to have agency in the food system as black and brown people. The work of Penniman and the Soul Fire Farm has been recognized by the Soros Racial Justice Fellowship, the Fulbright Program, Presidential Award for Science Teaching, NYS Health Engineering Innovator Awards, and Andrew Goodman Foundation, among others. Leah Penniman has also worked as a science teacher at University Park Campus School, Tech Valley High School, Darrow School, was the founding director of the Harriet Tubman Democratic High School. She lives on the farm with her partner, Jonah Vitale Wolf, and their two children, Nishima and Emmett Vitale Penniman. Also on the keynote address list is Catherine Wilkinson. She is an author, strategist, and teacher. She is a respected expert, strategist, and author on how humanity can address the climate crisis. She says the solutions for a regenerative future are already largely in hand. And she'll be speaking from 9 to 10 a.m. at This Way to Sustainability on Friday, March 26th. 100 of her technological possibilities, the possibilities that she says are in hand, are outlined in the New York Times best-selling book for which she was the senior writer. It's called Drawdown, the most comprehensive plan ever proposed to reverse global warming. The challenge is to apply climate solutions with speed and at scale. The opportunity is to create a more vibrant, equitable, prosperous, and resilient world. Our collective wisdom is vast, she says. It's time for collective will to match it. In March 2020, Drawdown released the Drawdown Review, the first major update to their research and analysis of climate solutions, which includes 10 key insights for possibility and action across various sectors. And another of the keynote speakers, Dr. Jennifer Atkinson. She'll be speaking 1 to 2 o'clock Thursday, March 25th. She's an author and a teacher, associate professor of environmental humanities at the University of Washington in Bothell. Her seminars on eco-grief and climate anxiety have been featured in the Los Angeles Times, the Washington Post, the Seattle Times, NBC News, Grist, Medium, and radio station KUOW, and many other outlets. Jennifer works with psychologists, artists, scientists, and community groups to provide resources for navigating the emotional toll of our climate crisis. She recently received a grant from the Rachel Carson Center in Munich to co-facilitate an interdisciplinary project titled An Existential Toolkit for Climate Justice Educators, that with a global team of scholars and activists. Jennifer is also the author of Garden Land, Nature, Fantasy, and Everyday Practice. That's a book that explores garden literature as a fantasy genre where people enact desires for community, social justice, joyful labor, and contact with nature. Her writing on the history of gardening in hard times has been featured on programs like NPR, The Conversation, the Earth Island Journal. She holds a PhD in English Literature and Language from the University of Chicago. She lives in Seattle, where she's taught at the University of Washington for the past 11 years. And finally, among the keynote speakers, the guy we were hoping to have on the show tonight but are still struggling, Bill Shireman, PhD. He's the president and CEO of Future 500. His mission is to bring together people who love to hate each other, capitalists, activists, conservatives, and progressives, among others. He teaches leadership and negotiations at the UC Berkeley Haas Business School and serves as a surrogate founding father of Bridge USA, where young progressives, conservatives, libertarians, and independents all register, decline to hate, and engage in democracy by listening, speaking, learning, teaching, and then solving problems. He's also Future 500's founder, president, and CEO. As a lifelong Republican and an environmental activist, a social progressive, and a free market enthusiast, Bill Shireman believes that our economics and our ecosystems don't have to be at odds, and that the left and right both have ample room to learn from each other. As executive director of Californians Against Waste, he united Coors, Safeway, and the Sierra Club to pass California's bottle bill, possibly one of the nation's most cost-effective recycling laws. His success forging a partnership between Mitsubishi and Rainforest Action Network helped catalyze the global deforestation free movement and also led to the founding of Future 500. His current passion is overcoming America's chronic polarization and crafting transpartisan solutions to climate change and other problems. And since we're still not able to reach Bill, I think we'll take a shot at recording him by Zoom sometime during the week, and we'll try to put that on the air for you next week.
Hi.
In the meantime, we want to tell you that this is still our pledge week at KZFR. KZFR is different. We're proud to stand out in a sea of mediocre, commercial-run media choices. We're proud to play music, cover issues you might not hear anywhere else, but we can't do it without you. So we freely give a choice voice to local organizations, educators, concerned citizens, and activists. We make it possible for you to learn about a wide variety of topics and local issues every day, but we can't do it without you. We also want to remind you of... Oh, we need his phone number again. Okay. While we try to get Bill Shireman on the phone, we'll also want to tell you a little bit about the public affairs program on KZFR. You know, we're delighted, as we've said, to be on Ecotopia every Tuesday night. There are a lot of other public affairs programs that you probably want to listen to. Coming up tonight at 6 o'clock, we get to hear Bobby Tryon. She'll be on the air. North State Give and Take. She'll be interviewing Dick Corey. He's an advocate for the Tykert Ponds. That's that wetland area you see as you drive into Chico from the south on Highway 99. It was created years ago by Tykert Construction, digging fill to elevate Highway 99 through Bidwell Park, and it filled with water. They hit a spring. And Bobby will be talking to Dick, who has plans for that as part of our community.
How can he call us?
Beg your pardon?
What's the number for him to call us on this call-in line?
I don't know. Then on Wednesday, there's One World Music with Diane Suzuki. Diane alternates One Word Music. She combines music and cultural commentary from around the world. Wednesday's public affairs program also includes Wednesday night Sue Hildebrand's fabulous Real Issue program at 6, examining key social and political issues of our time. Then on Thursday, KZFR offers two relatively new programs at 5. First, we have Chico News and Review. The editor himself is on the phone, on the program. Jason Cassidy filling you in on news headlines from Chico News and Review. Then Sue Hildebrand is on at 5:30 with the Butte Report. And I'm told that both of those programs are now going to be rebroadcast on Mondays. So you'll have a couple of chances to hear Jason and Sue. Thursday night public affairs programs continue with four great programs in rotation. Bill Mash's Imagining Community is a grassroots media and civic engagement endeavor, sharing stories that make our community imaginations sparkle and engage. Also, Dr. Gail Kimball answers your questions about community and national issues on Ask Dr. Gail. We'll also be rerunning next week our interview with Gail Kimball as she was talking about how young women are activists are confronting global warming. She answers all kinds of questions on her program. Ask her anything and she'll come up with a good answer. Also rotating on Thursday, Dr. Ken Logan shares information as a family practice physician, and Ray Lager brings you up to date on cultural and artistic happenings on Butte Views and Beyond.
We just have a few minutes now.
Friday at 11:30, you can join Chris Nelson, Corey Hemp Hump, Robert Jones, and Jesse Kearns on the Peace and Social Justice Program to hear about good work being done by people right here in our community. And then at 6 o'clock, Lily Silva explores the power of love. All of this, by the way, good reasons to support KZFR. Go online at kzfr.org or give us a call at 601-340-5937. Susan,
what Bill, are you there?
I am here, yes.
I am so sorry. I don't know. We don't know what happened because he did not have his end engaged, but for some reason I kept getting a busy signal, so he called us. So we only have a few minutes here, but we would like to talk to you a little bit. We already introduced you. I had a huge, long introduction for you. So what, just to get back into this, Bill Shireman is the founder, president, and CEO of Future 500, a nonprofit consultancy that builds trust between companies, advocates, investors, and philanthropists. And what I was so interested in reading his bio and going to his website and learning more is that he is a lifelong Republican and he brings together people who with opposing viewpoints to solve specific problems. So you'll be speaking at Chico State's This Way to Sustainability on Thursday, March 25th from 9 to 10. You have this long track record of bringing together diverse, if not opposing, voices and interests. Can you tell us about some of these negotiations that have been particularly difficult or particularly satisfying?
Yes, absolutely. You know, as you say, I've been a Republican and all my life, and I've been an environmental activist all my life, and I don't see those as contradictions. They should be together. I don't really feel like I have a political home, but I started out, you know, generations ago, hanging out with Ralph Nader, the consumer advocate, and advocating for a California bottle bill. Did that for, you know, during my late teens and 20s. And the way we got it to happen was not the traditional way. We raised our money the same way most environmental activists do, by attacking the companies that were attacking us. But eventually I got tired of that, and I started calling our opponents. And I called Bill Coors, who at the time was, you know, his brother was in the Reagan kitchen cabinet. They were kind of the family that folks on the left most liked to hate back then. But it turned out Bill Coors, the head of Coors Brewing Company, secretly wanted a bottle bill to happen, invited me to his office. We sat down and we worked out a deal on it. And then I went back to California and worked secretly, you know, fighting their lobbyists, you know, publicly, because they had to do that for, you know, for a show or something, but really working behind the scenes to get the California bottle bill passed. And, you know, the CRV system out there has now recycled trillions of containers because we didn't believe the narrative that sets the activist community and the business community apart. We knew that there were people inside all those communities who actually could work together and solve a problem, even if the whole political and media system, throws us at each other and tries to keep us at war.
So this is a particularly trying time in terms of extreme polarization. And so have you found this more difficult to work on, to find these common spaces for people to talk?
You know, it's only more difficult because there's so many more needs. You know, the infection that infected the environmental community two generations ago, where it was all cast as a war, has now spread to the entire political structure, and the right and the left are as at odds with each other as big corporations and activist groups were two generations ago. So it's just gotten worse. But more and more people know the truth, which is that 70% of us across the board, from the left to the right, can agree if we simply engage. But we are being prevented from engaging by, you know, a political media industry that profits by keeping us apart. So stations like KZFR are part of the solution because you're bringing solutions, you're bringing all sides to the table. But most of us imagine, if we're in the right media tent, that the left is all a bunch of crazy, you know, socialists bent on tearing down society. And if you're in the left tent, you believe that everybody on the right is a bunch of authoritarian, racist, you know, misogynists who want to tear down society. So we never even engage. The idea of a Democrat talking to a Republican is repugnant to both in most cases now.
So can you go around them, go around the politicians and go to organizations, to corporations, to environmental people, and bring those people together away from that political
You absolutely can, yes. And we're doing that now with two campaigns in particular. A group of friends, about 20 friends, who have been, you know, donors and, and really adversaries, spending money against each other, we've gotten together and we've formed groups to do two things. One is to defund hate. You know, the easy way for everybody to defund hate is to simply take our dollars and our votes away from campaigns and media that use hate to attract dollars and votes. Most of us don't think we're paying into that system, even as it is. But if we write a check to a Democrat or to a Republican, that money almost invariably goes into media machines, into data machines that calculate how to make people on each side hate the other so much that they cannot stomach the idea of ever voting for a candidate from the other party. We don't have to win elections that way. We can win elections for people who are problem solvers, whether they are Democrats or Republicans. They're a part of that middle 70% that work things out. That's the way to get, you know, the wisdom of both sides without the garbage of both sides. So that's number one. Number two is what we call climate of unity. And that means, again, consumers and citizens using our dollars and our votes to support the NGOs, candidates, and media that are part of the solution to saving the planet. Those two things, if we get 5 million people, and we're up to about 2 million so far, but if we can organize 5 million people across the left to the right to say the planet is not partisan, it's our common ground, literally, and we got to bring people together. We get 5 million people to do that. We have the voting power to win every contested election in any battleground state and district, to keep the crazies from winning primaries, and make sure that we have problem solvers both on the right and the left that are competing with the best ideas, not the best insults.
I am so sorry that we only have a couple minutes left here, but I want to ask a question about one of your books. Is called Engaging Outraged Stakeholders. Do you actually go to outraged stakeholders and figure out how do you do that? What's your magic? That's my biggest question.
Two things. Number one, humanize. Our media and our political system exploits the human the tendency to fear and hate. We are attracted most immediately to things we fear. And so we have fear thrown at us all the time because we react to it. We vote based on fear, and we look at advertisements based on fear. So what we do is we recognize that people who are outraged have demonized their enemies. So you go to the right, they've demonized the left. You go to the left, they've demonized the right. You go to environmentalists, they've demonized big corporations and everybody in them, top to bottom. And you go to the corporations and they say, oh my God, these crazy environmentalists are, you know, everybody's demonized each other. So step number one is to create a human relationship between them, because we automatically convey to each other our complexity when we know each other as friends. And then number two, we think like nature. The, you know, this industrial consumption economy that we have drives us to think in linear form, you know, consume and dispose, you know, extract and deplete, cause and effect. Nature thinks in circles. Nature thinks in, you know, everything is a cause and everything is an effect. We're part of a bigger process. And when we want to, let's say, solve the climate problem, we can't do it the old industrial linear way by, let's say, banning what we don't like at the beginning, because then we don't get the end. You know, we destroy the economy. We need to think like nature, cause and effect.
So,
cause and effect. And learn and adapt. And we find that when we bring different kinds of people together, that diversity drives the creativity that enables the seemingly impossible, and that is that we can be more and more while we consume less and less.
So that's a great teaser for your talk. I think it's going to bring a lot of people, because I know I want to know more, and I'm eager to hear you. So thank you so much. I'm so sorry that we didn't have our whole 20 minutes. Bill Shireman will be speaking at Chico State's This Way to Sustainability on Thursday, March 25th from 9 to 10 a.m., and we're really looking forward to it. And I'm pretty sure our listeners are now, too. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR. We're in the middle of our spring drive, pledge drive, and hope that you will go to KZFR.org or call 601-340-5937 in support of community radio. We just finished an interview with a nationally prominent leader and author. We now turn to something local, elementary children of Chico who want to make an environmental difference. Please show your support for the range of KZFR programming that you just don't find on commercial radio. You can pledge online at kzfr.org or give us a call at 601-340-5937. This is Ecotopia on KZFR. We recently read some essays about the environment printed in the Chico Enterprise Record. These were written on the topic of water conservation by fifth graders at Parkview Elementary School. We were really impressed by the writing and the students and their teachers with us today via Zoom. So I want to welcome all you Parkview Elementary students.
Hi.
There we go. Maybe you could just tell us your name so listeners can get a sense of your voices. Caitlin, you want to lead us off?
I'm Caitlin Washington.
Okay. Audrey?
Hi, I'm Audrey, and I'm 11.
Okay. Braden?
Hello, I'm Braden Peacock, and I am 11.
Okay. And Sean?
Hello, my name is Sean Kelly, and I'm 10.
Excellent. Thank you. We really appreciate your being with us. We're on a Zoom call. So tell us, please, what was the project you researched before you wrote your essays?
We studied on water conservation.
Mm-hmm. And in turn, go ahead.
And we also learned how it related to grass.
Okay.
So you focused in on grass once you got into the water conservation topic. Where did you go for your information sources? Did you Google the topic online or talk to people? Audrey?
So a majority of it was from our own classmates, because Mrs. Janoff let us share all of our information with each other, so we all had access to it.
And where did that come from in the first place, the information?
So she provided some links for us to, use information from, but we could also, just go ahead and Google it, and then we could find, various websites.
Okay, great. How much water does a lawn use? Braden, I think you did some research on that, and the rest of you did as well. Braden, can you tell us a little bit about how much water goes into a lawn?
Well, so this is just my lawn. Different lawns use different amounts.
Mm-hmm.
I did some calculations, and I found out that the average lawn uses about 243 gallons of water a day.
Tell me a little more about the formula that you use. How do you figure the size of the lawn and then how much water it uses? Go ahead.
Let's see. So I don't quite remember, but I believe the formula we used, first we calculated the square footage of the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to calculate that, and then we had to calculate the amount of irrigation the lawn would need. So we did the ETO, which is the amount of water needed for the irrigation, and we used factor 0 and 25 hundredths, and then we did, so the equation we used was ETO times PF times SF times 62 hundredths, and it's pretty confusing. And then we divided it by IE, which is irrigation efficiency, and we just used 62 hundredths because that's the constant value used for conversion. And SF, it said this area would be irrigated in square feet. So we used our square footage, which is SF. And the plant factor is the PF. So different plant. And so we just used 1 for our plant factor because it's grass. And the plant factor, different plants use different amounts of water, and grass uses 1 gallon, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not 1 gallon, but we use that amount, I don't know. And then, so we calculated it all up, once we divided it by IE, which is irrigation efficiency. And the reason we did that is because some irrigation never gets used by the plant, and the sprinkler system misses 50% of the water, does not hit the lawn. So we had to divide that by 5/10, and then we calculated that all together. Then we had to calculate how much a low water use lawn would be, and it was the same except for different values for the equation.
You are blowing my mind. That's a really complicated, as you said, equation. When I was in fifth grade, the only math we did, we would take home long sheets of addition and multiplication tables. That was it. Come back the next morning with all those problems done. This is really cool that at your age, you are able to work with a formula that is that complicated, and it really puts your math into actual practical use, so instead of just doing exercises. Well, that's great. We know now a little bit about how much water a lawn uses. Kind of a general question. I like to go to the park and take naps on the silky green grass. And in your essays, all 4 of you said, grass is not that interesting. We could afford to get rid of it. Who can tell me what's wrong with grass? Caitlin, and then Sean.
For one, we spend almost $60 billion a year on grass products alone.
Incredible. Sean?
We should be planting native plants since they're native here and use less water.
Mm-hmm.
Because the climate here doesn't usually get that much rain, so it gets less water.
Right. And one of you, I think, wrote that grass is just boring. You remember who put that in an essay and what you said about the boringness of grass? Okay, Braden. And I think Audrey had something to say as well. Go ahead, Braden.
Yeah, I said that it was, it just looks generic. Cause it's like everyone has grass. So mm-hmm. why didn't you replace it? Because if everyone puts in wildflowers, no wildflower is the same, but all the blades of grass look the same. So if you put in native plants, your lawn is going to look, it's going to look unique and it'll save water. So that's a big bonus. And have you ever looked at a lawn and like marveled at the lawn? Oh, it's so amazing. Before?
Right, right. Did somebody else want to add to that? Audrey.
Yeah, similar to what Braden said, I feel like grass, it's just green, plain green. And, you know, sometimes it'll be dead and yellow. But with wildflowers and just native plants, there's so many varieties of different colors, like probably colors we haven't even seen before.
Yes. I'll tell you about something I read a long while back, but was kind of interesting, that wherever there's a lawn, people buy lawnmowers. And so up and down the block, you have dozens and dozens of lawnmowers. And this guy said, well, if anything, we could share the lawnmowers. But he said it's really wasteful to have all that power equipment. You know, some days on a Saturday, all you can hear is the roar of the lawnmowers up and down your block. So you talked a little bit about the alternatives like native plants, flowers. Are there other things that you would recommend to replace your lawn with? Audrey.
So we talked about native plants, but then you can't just have plants on top of, you know, concrete or whatever. So we had a specific group researching landscaping materials, and what was brought up a lot was mulch. And for me personally, I like decomposed granite because it prevents weeds from growing, but it still keeps the soil moist.
Mm-hmm. I think, Audrey, you wrote about you can actually get paid for removing your lawn. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
So some companies, water specifically companies, like the San Diego Water Company, they will pay you to replace your lawn with basically anything other than grass. And I can't remember exactly, but there was a certain amount you get paid per square foot, and you could get paid up to $4,000 just for replacing your lawn.
Wow. Really impressive. Caitlin, at the end of your essay, you had something interesting. You were talking about what Mother Teresa might think about removing lawns. Could you paraphrase that for us, please?
Yeah. So what I said was, as Mother Teresa would say, the more you have, the more you are occupied. The less you have, the more free you are. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
But I changed it a little bit to the more grass you have, the more occupied you will be. The less you have, the more free you will be.
That's an excellent, excellent switch. Anybody have additional things you'd like to say before I turn to Mrs. Janos and ask her about it? Caitlin.
It's a comment on the land, on the lawnmower thing.
Mm-hmm.
We spill almost 17 million gallons of lawnmower gas a year.
Okay. Yeah, that is enough to make it right there, isn't it? 17 million gallons. And yeah, we don't need more fossil fuels, and we don't need more fossil fuel pollution from two-cycle or four-cycle engines. Great. Anything else you'd like to add? Anybody from the group? Yes, Audrey.
To add on to what I said about getting paid for replacing your lawn, you can, so you're saving water every day. Like my lawn Personally, it's a small lawn and it uses around 210 gallons per day. But if I were to switch over to things like native shrubs and other landscaping materials, I could be using 35 gallons per day.
Wow.
And so saving water is saving money on your water bill. So you can get paid while saving money.
Excellent. Right. Okay. Let me turn to Mrs. Janos then. She's your teacher, an excellent teacher. Tell us about, I forgot to ask about the California Water Challenge. So perhaps you could tell us about that and mainly why you chose to do this and what you see as the educational benefit to projects like these.
Well, the Cal Water Project, it's actually the Cal Water H2O Challenge, is, and I call it my project with the students, and it's not my project, really, it's their project. I just help to facilitate them. But it is a contest for teachers who work in areas of California where Cal Water is the provider, and the classrooms can participate in grades 4 through 6 to, research and focus on some area of water conservation and create this project to not just learn about water conservation, but to teach others about it and to try to make a difference in their community as well. And so we took this challenge on this year, which was certainly challenging, being that some of the class is, well, we started out all online, and then we turned into part of the class is in person and part of the class is online. And just of the kids that you have with us right now, it is split 50-50. We have 2 kids that come in person and we have 2 kids that are online. And one of the goals of this opportunity for our class was to give them an opportunity to collaborate, whether they are in the AM on, in-person session or in the PM online. I wanted them to feel like they're part of a class, regardless of that separation. And this was a really great opportunity for them to find a purpose in their collaboration. And it's not just, hey, look what we did in the morning and look what we did in the afternoon. This is, we're doing this together every step of the way, which has been a fantastic opportunity for them to communicate, because they had to communicate outside of school for this to work completely. So the kids were using Google Hangouts to chat with each other about their projects. They were creating Zoom meetings to talk with each other, with purpose and not about video games. And they were doing a lot of really amazing work outside of our school day with kids that they didn't get to see on a regular basis, right, which was one of the main goals. As far as the project, they created this. So I started out, with educational goals that start with the standards. I look at our NGSS standards for science, and then I look at the Common Core standards for language arts and math. And I work with those standards to create a framework of what I know I want them to learn. And how can I embed them through a real life opportunity for them? So we start out with the science lessons, and these science lessons are the same kinds of lessons we would normally do, because they need that background. They need the firm understanding of what it is they're researching. They learned about how much water there is on the planet. They learned about freshwater versus salt water. They learned about aquifers. They learned about, all the actual science behind water. They learned about human problems that are in regarding water, which is also a science standard for 5th grade. And through that learning, they were then able to say, oh, wait, I can actually identify a lot of problems with our water that are human created. So they sat down, whether in class or online, and created a list of the kinds of problems that we as humans have created with water, in whether it's, taking long showers or washing our cars in the runoff. And they could identify a lot of these things and say, oh, that's terrible. We should take shorter showers, or we should turn off our faucet in between brushing our teeth. And, they could identify those things before they walked in the door that day.
Mm-hmm.
And And we took a minute and we spent a little more time researching. And I said, you know, let's look at some really well done infographics. And we looked at infographics that showed household water use. And they all noticed a commonality in that the biggest chunk of water by a home is being used in their yard. And it's not the showers, although we don't want to, you know, waste our water. And it's not, you know, the toothbrushing. So please brush your teeth. You know, it's wasted. And some kids said, I'm going to stop drinking water because I don't want to waste it. No, please drink water. It's not a waste. But that lawn usage, it was just striking to them. And across the board, the kids noticed that grass lawns took up a lot of water. They didn't notice that. I didn't tell them that. They noticed it. So they then their next step was to say, okay, what is it that I want to spend some time to focus my research on so that I can make a change in our community? And as a class, they brainstormed ideas. And there were huge numbers of ideas they came up with. And we looked at those lists that they came up with. And then I asked them, you know, choose the one of your list that you think is the most important for our community. Is it going to be, you know, to stop washing your car? Is that a permanent fix? Or is there something else that can really change in significant ways the amount of water that was being used? And the kids looked at their lists and we saw over and over, not 100%, but the same answers for this was coming up by a lot of different kids. They said, we need to do something about lawns. So they came up with that idea. And then what we did is we realized we need to figure out how do you change that lawn. So we need to know how much water does our lawn use? How much water would a lawn with or would a yard without grass use? All of these things they realized they had to do. So I just facilitated. They told me, you know, they need to know how much water. Okay, I'm going to get you the formula. And now you're going to, they went out, each one of them went out and measured their yard. And we, you know, I showed them how to find out their square footage. And I showed them how to calculate water use with grass lawn and sprinkler. And we learned about irrigation inefficiency. And, you know, all of this came up really naturally through some guidance, but on their own. You know, because they understood the concepts. And so they each made that comparison of, you know, changing the amount of water their own yard used into a, you know, low water use yard. They were shocked when they saw those numbers. It was just startling for them and they loved it. So they went from there and they realized, you know, people need to know this information. So students, one of our Common Core standards is to write opinion writing, you know, and so we wrote opinion letters to go to the newspaper. And it was really, you know, our opinion based in fact. So I showed them how to cite their research and, you know, they wrote opinion writing that told people why to change their yard. Mm-hmm. And I sent those on to the Enterprise Record. And they loved them. They said, I'd love to print them all, but it would take the entire newspaper. So can we just put this, you know, they went and they looked through and tried to find the ones they liked and put them in. And then from there, the kids, they didn't stop there. They modeled, they created a model of after researching in their groups, whether, you know, their research was landscaping material. And some of the kids took temperature guns and realized, okay, if I put black rock out, that's going to heat up the area a lot. So I don't, if I take out all the grass, which was cooler, I want to replace it with cool materials. They realized mulch was pretty cool temperature wise. And, you know, DG is cool temperature wise. So they looked for temperature cooling materials and drought resistant plants. And they looked for some of the kids researched the irrigation drip lines and how much they would need to put in and how they would have to plant based on drip lines. And then they share that information with each other. And They modeled then, it created a design of their new yard, created a model of their new yard, shared their models with each other. And then as groups, they created either public service announcements some of the kids did TED Talk style talks, like speeches that they recorded. And some of the kids coded on Scratch games where the people could play around with changing the landscaping of their yards. And this opportunity was just completely student driven. There was buy-in by everyone. Every single student turned in something. And you can't, as a teacher during this time, you can't say that that's common. There's a lot of kids right now that are struggling to get their work done. This had high engagement. The buy-in was huge. They care about it. There, it may have started out with an extrinsic reward, thinking about getting a prize from the Cal Water, but this really turned into an internal, intrinsic reward for the kids.
Yeah. Well, fabulous project. My guests today have been Braden Peacock, Caitlin Wassinger, Audrey Vu, Sean Kelly from Parkview Elementary, their teacher, Tammy Chanos. You've done great work. Anytime you folks want to come back on Ecotopia to tell us about the environment, what you're doing in your work, let me know and we'll put you on again. So thank you very much for being with me today. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Great kids, great teacher. This is Ecotopia on KZFR. We want to thank Charles from Chico, who just pledged in support of KZFR and Ecotopia. Still time. We have a few more days in our pledge drive. We're trying to earn money for a backup generator and an emergency preparedness combination to help make the Mighty Zephyr even more self-sufficient, independent, and prepared for future emergencies that we may face together. Together, we can keep this homegrown, independent community radio station powered up and running strong. So, give us a call, 601-340-KZFR. That's 601-340-5937. Or you can pledge. It's a little easier. Just go to kzfr.org to make your pledge. Thank you very much for listening to Ecotopia. And now, here's Bobby.
Our state give and take is made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling Cotton Party at 893-4923. And by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image, open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. More information at 530-898-9525. And guess what? It is Pledge Drive Week. And this is North State Give and Take's first Pledge Drive. So please, donate to your community radio station, donate to North State Give and Take, and donate to your community. Hey, we give a voice to local organizations. That's what North State Give and Take is all about. Educators, concerned citizens, activists, nonprofits, and